Is there anything that you are ashamed of? That's not actually supposed to be a funny thing. But there are some things that we are a little bit self-conscious about, right? Things that we aren't sure that it quite meets other people's standards. And so maybe the way that we dress or something, we're just a little bit self-conscious about that. And we might be a bit embarrassed about things that we just know we're not good at and we're put on the spot. So like our dance moves maybe, right? We might be a bit embarrassed about our dance moves. But when it comes right down to it, we know that it really doesn't matter except that it feels like it does. So we're just a bit embarrassed about it. Or there are those things of which we are ashamed, right? Those things that they seem really important and we know they don't measure up. They aren't what they should be in the eyes of other people and in our own eyes. We just know it's just not what it should be. And it's important. So whether it's family or things that you have said or done in public or things that you have said and done in private or the way that you handle situations or the way that you have talked or the way that you raise your kids or the way that you are a spouse or the way that you do your job or something, you know, that you feel like this is an important thing and it just doesn't measure up. And so I am ashamed of it. Well, this morning we're reading in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and Paul, the apostle, is writing to his spiritual son Timothy, and he's encouraging him, and he's telling him, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Okay, so if you would turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to back up a little bit into verse 3. We're actually taking from verse 8 to the end of the chapter, but just for context, I want to back up into verse 3, where Paul writes and he says, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has given us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day that which has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygelius and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know the service he rendered at Ephesus. Paul is writing to Timothy and he's telling him, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. And the reason that he's writing to Timothy this is because there are people who are ashamed of the gospel. And Paul knows it. There are people that even at the end of this passage, he writes and says, these guys were ashamed of me. And they're ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And they have abandoned me. And so, Timothy, don't be ashamed. Don't be like them. Don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. When you think of, okay, why would somebody be ashamed of the gospel, right? God loves us. Why would I be ashamed that God loves us, that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for our sins? Why would I be ashamed of that? And you think to Jesus, right? And Jesus came and he taught and that everybody loved Jesus. Because he did all kinds of amazing, great things. He taught with words that people just couldn't believe were coming out of his mouth. He just teaches like one who knows what he's talking about. Like one who has authority. Like one who actually knows God and is revealing him to us. This is amazing. And then he would do all of these things, like heal people and provide food for people. And he was performing miracles and people went, this is incredible. This guy is amazing. And they followed him and they loved him and he was very popular with the crowds until the authorities didn't like him. And then they took him and they tried him and they found him to be guilty. Not that he actually was guilty, but they decided that he was. And so they mocked him and spit on him and beat him publicly in front of everybody. And they stripped him and they dragged him and they hung him on a cross for all to see. Look at what this loser is. You were hoping that this guy would be your savior? This criminal? This guy who is hanging on the cross? That's who you wanted to put your hope in? That's who you were expecting great things from? And his disciples were dismayed and they fled. And Paul is now telling Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Would you be embarrassed? Would you be embarrassed if you came to this church and you said, yep, this is my church home. You should really come and meet our pastor. He's a really great guy. He tells these funny stories on Sunday mornings. We've got this awesome music too. You should really come and check out my church. And then if I were to get arrested, and I was to be sentenced to the electric chair, and then what would you do? It's not so exciting anymore, right? Oh, you go to church? Where do you go? New Life. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. New Life. New Life? Yeah. I'm not familiar with that one. Which one is that? Oh, that's the one where the pastor was electrocuted because he was a criminal. Oh, you go to that church. There is a certain shame in following somebody who, in his saving act, died as a criminal. Right? I mean, we look at him as a hero, as a martyr, because he died to save us from our sin. And we look at that and we go, yes! But you could see it from the other side. And how that might be a little bit embarrassing. To say, oh yeah, I followed Jesus. You followed Jesus? Yeah, he was amazing. Yes, we know that he was amazing. But then they killed him. Right? Well, yeah, but still, I mean, still, he is amazing. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. So Paul, right, is saying, Timothy, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of who Jesus is and what he has done. And don't be ashamed of me either. I know that I'm writing you from my prison cell. I know that this letter is coming by way of the Roman guard because I had to write it from my prison cell. But even so, don't be ashamed of me just because I was arrested. I was arrested for the sake of the gospel. Yeah, other guys have left. Other guys have fled. Other guys have abandoned me because they're ashamed of me. But don't you be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of me, and don't be ashamed of the gospel. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. That's quite an encouragement, isn't it? Way to sell it, Paul. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus, how he died on the cross as a criminal. Don't be ashamed of me, even though I'm writing you as a prisoner. But just suffer for the sake of the gospel. Share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And I read this, and there's a part of me that just goes, oh, I knew it. It's my lot in life to be called to suffer. I knew it. Why couldn't I get the joyful thing, right? Why couldn't I get the hero's welcome or the praise and glory side? But share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Because here's the amazing thing in all of this, right? He's calling Timothy and he's saying, look, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of me. But stand firm. Even in suffering, don't be ashamed. Even when it's your turn to suffer, don't be ashamed, because you have the power of God for suffering. Could I sign up for the power of God for winning? Could I sign up for the power of God for something else? Couldn't I have the power of God for persuasive speech? No, the power of God for suffering for the sake of the gospel. You see, it was in the suffering of Christ that we won. Right? It was in the suffering of Christ that he took on our guilt and our shame, that we don't need to be ashamed any longer. Because all of the things that we might have been ashamed of, the way we dress, the way we dance, the things that we have said, the things that we have done, all of those things have been taken and placed on Christ. And he bore that. He carried it. He took that load off of you and put it on himself, and then was crucified for it. He didn't have any business being crucified. There was no guilt in him. He hadn't done anything wrong, ever. I can't even imagine that. How could somebody live as a human and not have any guilt? And yet he did. He lived perfectly. He had no reason to be killed. And yet he took all of our guilt, all of the things that we had done, he bore that and died on the cross, this shameful death, so that we could look back at our lives and feel no shame, because he's taken it away. That's amazing. That's the power of God. That whatever you're going through, the power of God is there with you to bring you through. You know, Paul, God called him and said, I am going to have you testify on my behalf in front of kings and princes. Yeah, sign me up for that one. How did Paul get before kings and princes? Through the prison system. Never mind. Paul can have it. We'll give Paul the prince's one. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us. Who saved us and called us to a holy calling. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Okay. I know some of you think you don't like theology. This is a little bit of theology that you gotta like. Okay? By the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works. Okay, first part of theology. You didn't do anything. God doesn't like you because of something that you did. God does not love you, like you, appreciate you because of something that you did. You didn't please him. You didn't impress him. You didn't show him how great you were or how much he should love you. There was none of that. He just loved you. He just loved you. Who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace. Just because he's God, for his own reasons, he saved you. Just to demonstrate his grace, he called you and said, abandon your sin and come to me, and I will take care of all of the sin for you. You don't have to do anything. I'll do it all for you. I am calling you away from a life of sin and selfishness, and I am calling you now to a holy calling. Those of you who have shame about the things that you have done or maybe are currently still doing, you don't have to be ashamed of a holy calling. You have been called to a great, sanctified, set-apart thing. God has called you to something righteous and glorious. And when you do that, you don't have to be ashamed. Because God has given you power for that, for a holy calling. And sometimes, you know, we get confused about, okay, what the holy calling. I mean, I know what the holy calling was for Paul. Paul was called to preach and proclaim the gospel to all of the Gentiles. And Timothy was called to be a pastor and preach and teach and encourage people at Ephesus. But what's my holy calling? Your holy calling is to proclaim Jesus right where you're at. That's your holy calling. Sometimes we get confused about this because we want it to look phenomenal, right? Apart from suffering, apart from normality. And yet it is in the very normal that God uses us. So that whatever our job might be, whatever our relationships might be, wherever we might find ourselves, God has called us to a holy calling in that place. What does it look like to be holy in the place that you find yourself? What does it look like for you to be holy in your family? What does it look like for you to be holy in your job? What does it look like for you to be holy at the grocery store? At school, in class. What does it look like for you to be called to a holy calling there? It doesn't look spectacular. Most people's holy calling does not look spectacular. It looks normal, frustratingly normal, and boring, and dull, and frustrating, and suffering. And long suffering. And yet he has called us to it. To a holy calling. So that when you wake up this morning, or not this morning, but on a typical morning and you go to work. And you just... again. I have to do it again. Maybe work isn't your again But you've got something, right? I have to go do it. And it's a drudgery, but God has called you to a holy calling. There was this commercial on TV for a while that I used to make fun of. And the reason that I would make fun of it is because the person woke up and went, "Oh, I have to go to my job." You could put your job away and you could go to this school and get this training so that you can have a career. And then the whole thing was about how you wouldn't have to do this stupid job anymore, but you could go to this school and give them lots of money so you could get the degree so that now you could no longer have a job, but a career. And I just laughed at that stupid commercial because I thought, and now they wake up every morning going, "Oh, I have to go to my career." There's no hope in a career. That's no better than a job. You know what's better? It's a holy calling. A holy calling is better. Oh, we still might not want to get up as early as we have to get up. We still might not want to see those people that we have to see. We still might not want to do the tasks that we have been given to do, but we have a holy calling to do it. Because God has called you to be a witness for Him in the place that He has placed you. That's what He's called you to. That you might bring hope to other people. That you might bring encouragement to other people. That other people, when you come to work, they go, "Oh, thank you, somebody that doesn't just make this place miserable. Please, don't make their place miserable." Come with the hope of Jesus. Come with the joy of Jesus. And you're going, "I can't do that. Do you know what my career is? How am I going to go with any joy? Do you know the people I work with? How am I going to bring any light into that place? But share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." From before time, He has already identified you and said, "This is what you are going to be called to do. You are going to be my witnesses." "And which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Okay, there's a little bit of joy for you. How are you going to have any joy? You have to get up this morning and you have to go to your career. How are you going to have any joy? By seeing the things that have been appearing to us now. They have been made manifest to us through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It is because you have been saved for a brand new life. You have been regenerated from that sinful state to a new holy and righteous calling. "Who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed." You see, it can be difficult. In the places that you find yourself, it can be difficult to be a Christian in those places. It can be difficult to have joy, even with the power of God, but if you stay prayed up and you stay in God's Word, that can help a lot with that. If you stay focused on the gospel, okay, God, what is it that you want to do? What is it that you want to communicate to these people today? How can I express your love in this place today? How can I bring light and joy to this place today? How can I make the gospel and Jesus' death and resurrection made manifest in this place today? And then we see, "Which is why I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed." But I am not ashamed. Paul says. Paul's in prison. He was arrested for preaching about Jesus, and he is not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. I am not ashamed. You know, when I am in public and we find ourselves in one of those dancing settings, I get a little bit embarrassed about my own lack of dancing skills. I've tried taking classes. We'll leave it at I tried. Very good at steps. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. I could even do it without looking at my feet. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. I memorized all the moves. I do this, and then this, and then... Right? And I knew her moves, and what she was supposed to do. And as soon as that music came on, embarrassment. You know who isn't embarrassed by dancing? People who can dance. They're not embarrassed by dancing. They can dance. In fact, people who are really confident and know how to dance, they can take you along so that you're no longer embarrassed. You're dancing with them. There's one time I was in a class, this was before I knew my wife. I was in this dancing class, and I, you know, okay, I knew what I was supposed to do. I just couldn't do it to music. And this girl knew how to dance. And she came and she danced with me, and I just followed her. I wasn't embarrassed at all. She knew how to dance, and I just followed along. Look at this. For which I was appointed as a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Paul is not ashamed because he is confident. And it isn't that he's confident in him, he's confident in God. He doesn't have to be embarrassed, he's confident. It's not because of his works, it's not because of his stuff, it's not because of his dance moves. It's because he believes. Verse 12, for this is why I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. He knows that this is God. And the promises of God are sure, and they will carry him through all the way to the last day. The promises of God are good. He knows that God is powerful, that God will deliver on his promise. When you've got something that you really want to keep it safe, right? You've got maybe some jewelry or some money or something. What do you do with that? You stick it under your mattress at home and hope that nobody breaks in and finds it? Do you carry it on your person all the time? You just stick it in your pocket so that you can protect it and keep it safe? You put it in a bank and you trust that those people, they're going to take care of it in a safety deposit box or something. They're going to protect it and keep it safe for you. What Paul is saying is, I believe that God will keep me safe all the way to the last day. I don't have to trust in anything else. I don't have to be secure in my own ability to defend or guard my hope in the future. God has got it. God's got it. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me. Now, Timothy, just as I have been telling you about this and in my own hope, now I want you to have the same hope. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. You don't have to hang on to this hope all by yourself. You've got the Holy Spirit who's doing it inside you. We just have to let Him do it. Pray. Holy Spirit, would you hold on to this? Look, at just as the things that Paul has entrusted to God, just as the hope for the future that God will follow through on His promises have been entrusted to God, now that same hope is entrusted to us, that we would hang on to it, right? He's entrusting it to Timothy. Hold on to that gospel. Hold on to the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel because the gospel. That's what he's saying. Don't be ashamed of the good news of Jesus because it's the good news of Jesus that has delivered you from shame. You are well aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygelus and Hermogenes. There are people who are abandoning the faith, who are leaving it behind, who are giving up because they don't believe the gospel. They're not hanging on to it. They're not guarding it. They're not spending time reading God's promises and meditating on it and hanging on to it and clinging to it. They're giving up on it because they're ashamed of Jesus. Because they're ashamed of their fellow Christians. They're ashamed of people who bring shame to them, right? They say, I'm going to leave Paul. He's a prisoner. He was arrested. I'm going to leave Jesus because there's no honor in following Jesus. There's a lot of shame out there in following Jesus. But I know in whom I have believed. And I know that He is able to guard and to keep and protect that which I have entrusted to Him until that last day. So there are many who have turned away, but may the Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus. For he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. That same day, that last day, may Onesiphorus find mercy from God in that last day. Because he has not been ashamed. Because he has fought that good fight. Because he has been called to a holy calling. He has been doing the work that has been set before him. And he says, and you well know the service that he rendered while he was in Ephesus with you. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Even let the suffering. Don't let the suffering shake you from clinging to, delighting in, believing in the good news that Jesus Christ has come and died for your sin and taken all of that away and has given us a glorious future that we're looking toward. He's going to come back. That promise is sure. And we can hope. And when we have confidence in what God is doing and will continue to do until the last day, then we have no need to be ashamed. Let's pray. Our Father, too often we are concerned about what other people think of us. We are worried that they won't approve. We are worried that they will slander us or belittle us. And we know even that our work is not good enough. And if they knew what they could know about us, that they would definitely embarrass us and make us to be ashamed. But Lord, we believe that because of the power of Jesus, we have hope in a glorious future. We believe that Jesus has removed all of our sin, all of our wrongdoing, so that we need no longer feel shame about it because it has already been made right. And so, Father, we pray. Would you remind us of the promises day after day? Would you help us to stay in your word to see those promises and to be confident in the presence of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, who empowers us for the work of a holy calling. And Lord, I pray for the people that are in this room that suffer daily, that are in places that they don't want to be, with people with whom they don't want to associate. And Father, I pray that you would give them hope in those places. I ask not that you would remove them from those places, but that you would redeem the situation. That as those who have been called to a holy calling, you might make them your witnesses in those dark places. In those places of difficulty, would you give them joy? Would you give them hope? And Lord, would you enable them to proclaim the hope that they have in Jesus? That we might all respond in praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen.